Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
You know I'm not even wrong. Like, does that not make you just want to punch him in the face?
You are not wrong. I'll tell you that. You are not wrong.
I just want to punch him so hard in the face. Gotta tell you, I just want to punch him so bad. Just be like, dude, you're such a D. Boom, right in the mouth. Anyway, 76-75 Lakers up. By the way, Vegas won tonight, 3-0. So I hit that game over Dallas. They look good tonight. I know, I think Carlson had one of them. Stasny had one of them. Nosek had the other. I think he had the third goal. And that series is now 1-1. So were you able to catch any of that game?
I did. I was able to catch a little bit of it. I caught the second and the third period. So
right.
I thought that they got back to, like we were talking about this afternoon, they got back to their game. And Vegas, we know that they can come at you in a bunch of different ways. DeBoer kind of mixed the lines up tonight. He had Leonard back in. Not that Fleury was the problem the other night. They lost 1-0. I mean, they didn't score any goals. Right. But you saw the guys that get it done for them step up, and they, you know, they can adjust to any way that Dallas wants to play. That's what's so great about Vegas. They can play fast and they can play slow.
Yeah. Listen, I think they needed to score. You know, they got beat 1-0. So when they finally broke the ice, they looked like a lot different team. I know. I got to crank this hangnail, driving me nuts, man. This thing's a real problem. I got to get this thing. It's really sore. I got to cut that off or something. So anyway, once they had said that on the broadcast, too, once they got going, they seemed like they played with more confidence, like they were taking chances, shooting the puck, scoring, getting into it. We got a big hour coming up with John McClain a little bit.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, Farrell on the bench. I just wanted to say, I see the church is rocking this evening. That's in the YouTube chat room, otherwise known as the Church of Farrell. So did you see this story about Billy Donovan is out at Oak City? Can you even believe that? Like,
is that
Yeah, got rid of Billy Donovan. So
how about that?
I don't know why. I don't know how. All I know is Billy Donovan is not being brought back by the Oak City Thunder. And it really, you know, makes no sense to me. I mean, you can't even deny that guy did a good job there. How can you say he didn't do a good job? Every player that ever played there left, right? They all leave. And then they all talk about how much they loved it there. Love those people in Oak City. OKC, I love you forever. Chris Paul, did you see him after they lost? He did a big five-minute diatribe about how much he loves it there. Is he going to leave as sure as you're sitting here? Right? He loves it. That's like listening to Anthony Davis talk about how much he loves the jambalaya down in New Orleans. Right? Like, I love the people. I love the food. But I'm out of here. Right? That's what that means. When they start talking about how much they love the people and the food, you know they're leaving. I mean, it's just automatic. But I don't really follow the firing. I don't get it. Did they not just play fantastic together? Have they not been a good team every single year with what they have, with what they have on that roster, with what they're able to pay, with what they're able to accumulate in terms of players and free agents, whatever, trades, whatever? You can't deny that they've done a good job, right? They're a good team. How do you fire a guy that wins and that has puts together a good team no matter what? They're just always good. They're always good. And you fire him? Obviously, if they're not bringing him back, they're firing him, right? I mean, he's not coming back. That's called fired in Portuguese. Okay? So I couldn't even believe it. I couldn't even believe it. Seriously. Is that not crazy? Can someone explain that to me? I mean, just don't get
it. It sounds like, you know, when you listen to these guys that cover the team and that his contract was up. So they both agreed that they didn't want to go another year, extend the contract. Presti, here's your boy Sam Presti. Sam Presti said, it became apparent that we couldn't provide him the information on the future direction of the team over the next several seasons to give him the level of clarity that he understandably desires at this stage of his career. So it sounds like, Scotty, that Donovan is the one walking away here from the Thunder and not the other way around. He did not want to negotiate an extension. His contract ran out, and he is walking out the door. That's what it sounds like to me.
Well, you know, I was just reading it in German, and it reads, they weren't giving him a deal, and so he's not coming back.
Right. That's how Presti's spinning it.
We plan to sit down at the end of the season and discuss the best way to move forward for both of us. After those discussions, it became apparent that we couldn't provide him the information on the future direction of the team over the next several seasons to give him the level of clarity that he understandably desires at this stage of his career. Therefore, we close this chapter, blah, blah, blah. So in other words, I mean, his contract was up and they wouldn't give him a new contract, right? He wanted to know the clarity of the next several years. Who knows what's going to happen in the next several years of their life in anything? People are like, you know, that question always makes me say, what do you think you're going to be at in 5 years? Have you ever seen that interview when they bring you in and they say, where are you in 5 years from now? You know where I am? I'm sleeping with your wife.
I can understand it in one aspect. I think I can get one reason why what Donovan is doing here, because a couple years ago when he took the job, you had Russell Westbrook, you trade for Paul George. You had pieces that you thought would be there for a while, and then a year later, both of those guys are gone. Now, he did a hell of a job coaching them this year, obviously, because people thought the Thunder were going to be awful this year, and they end up making the playoffs, and they end up going 7 with the Rockets, etc. But I think that he probably just wanted to know, are you guys going to go and get big players and then get rid of them a year later, like you just did to me last year? That's probably what he was asking for.
It sounds to me like he's going to the Bulls. He's going to take the Bulls job and have power.
Well, it's all about power. You need that
he'll
power.
He'll be a commodity. Listen, to become a candidate for openings in New Orleans, Philly, and Indiana, and the Bulls.
Like about Milwaukee. There's going to be an opening in Milwaukee.
There might be an opening in Milwaukee because your boy took the number one team in the NBA and got their ass beat. And they lost four of the five games with Giannis. Okay? Or three of the four, right, that he played.
That's right.
Right? He won one, so he played four games.
The game that they won, he left. That's the game, last game that he left in the second quarter.
Right. And so he was on the floor for everything, but just basically losses. So, you know, I got to tell you, I think the guy's an incredible player. There's no doubt that he goes to the 10 hard and gets buckets. And that's because of his length and speed, right? He can take two steps from half court and score. And he's got all the 360 spin moves and everything else. And he gets to the 10 and no one can stop him. And if he misses a roller, he'll get it himself and dunk it or tip it back in, right? If he misses, he always puts it back in. He gets the rebound and the offensive tip. So I don't deny he's a great player at that. I mean, at that, he's got that mastered. He's got that trademarked. But, you know, and I think he's a great defensive player. There's no doubt he's first team all defense, right? But I mean, there's got to be someone that just says it. They're not winning anything with him. I mean, that's just all there is to it. So, you know, him pulling up from three is another thing I don't want to see either. I know that he loves to shoot those threes and thinks he's got this like great outside stroke. And I just am not buying that. And I just don't want to see it. That's not where I want my big man shooting. I know some of them shoot that way on that team, like Lopez. And look what it gets him. It gets him regular season wins that are meaningless. And when it comes to the big time playoff games, they lose because of it. All they do is shoot bombs. When I got 2 7-footers shooting threes, something's wrong with this picture, okay? I need you inside finishing at the rim, alley-oops, dunks, and finger rolls, and layups. That's it. And little 5-footers. And then score all day long, get fouled, go to the line, make your free throw, boom. Swat shots, get rebounds. But I got this guy pulling up from 30 and chucking threes. And he brings the ball up the court like he's a point guard. That's what's wrong with this team. They got bigs playing like guards, point guards and two guards, right? That's exactly what they do. They all spread out. Brooks Lopez and Giannis shoot threes, and then everybody else, Korver, DiVincenzo, Hill, all they do is shoot threes. That's it. Bledsoe sucks. You saw that tonight, full on. Hill sucked tonight, full on. And then Giannis didn't even play, but Brook Lopez came back down to earth because that's really who he is. He's not some superstar 25-point-a-game guy that he thinks he was after the last game when he had a big game, right? Bottom line is, after all that, after all the awards, after all the MVPs, he might win another one this year with all the first team, all defense. What's he got to show for it? He's got, you know, MVP hardware. That's it. Well, that looks really great to your mom and dad and your, you know, family. But, you know, this sport is about rings and championships, and that's it. You don't ever hear anybody saying anything else. That's all they talk about is Michael Jordan, 6. They talk about Shaq. They talk about Kobe. They talk about, you know, LeBron. LeBron's at 3, looking for 4. He wants 6 worse than anyone on earth. And Giannis has got none. None. He ain't getting it in Milwaukee because they never win.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, John McClain, great columnist with the Chronicle in Houston, a longtime friend of Pharrell on the Bench. Always good to have John on. I hope you're well, buddy. Thanks for coming on the bench tonight, John.
Scott, it's my pleasure anytime. Thank you for having me, and I hope you're doing well and staying safe.
My man. So let me ask you, when you saw that, well, just so we're clear, when they traded Hopkins, I fell over. I fell over in my driveway like a tree falling in a rainstorm. I almost died when I saw that they got rid of him. I just couldn't even believe it. I have to go back to that moment and ask you what your reaction was to them getting rid of him.
It was the same as everybody's was. Nobody liked it. Nobody, no, the players liked it. They know it's just business. They weren't going to redo Hopkins' contract with 3 years left. They'd only done that once in history. The only time they ever did anybody more than 2 years left was J.J. Watt, and that caused him a problem with Dwayne Brown. He wanted his deal redone, forced to trade. So they went through contract issues with Clowney, traded him to Seattle, didn't get what everybody thought they should. So they traded Hopkins for running back David Johnson, a second-round pick they used on defensive tackle Ross Blacklock. And then because they acquired that two, they traded their two to the Rams for receiver Brandon Cook. So Hopkins wanted a new deal. One of the reasons, Scott, they didn't get a first-round pick is a lot of teams didn't want to redo a contract with 3 years left. The Cardinals had no reservations about it. They knew when they made the trade they were willing to do it, and it was just a matter of them coming to an agreement with Hop, and they did today. And I know a lot of people are very happy for him because he was underpaid.
Well, I just think he's such a stud. I know you do, too. I can't imagine that that's a bad deal for Arizona, because that guy is lit and in his prime, and he will come up big for that kid Murray as sure as I'm sitting here, and you know it. I just don't understand. Like, it sounds to me like the Texans are cheap.
Well, they're not cheap. They just gave Deshaun Watson the second largest contract in NFL history. They signed Zach Cunningham, inside linebacker, $58 million. Laramie Tunsil, the biggest contract for any offensive lineman in history. And Whitney Merciless, outside linebacker, they paid him a lot of money. Their message is, if you are a good teammate and you work hard and you are productive on the field on Sundays and during the week, you got a chance to reap a financial windfall. And they didn't want to do it for Hopkins with 3 years left, and he's gone, and he is going to be great for Kyler Murray. He may prolong Larry Fitzgerald's career a couple of years, and Cliff Kingsbury, of course, will make great use of him. Texans still have a lot of talent on offense. They got a lot of talent at receiver and tight end, so I expect they're going to score a lot of points. Their problem's not going to be not scoring points. Their problem is going to be allowing too many points.
Let me just ask you lastly, did you think that he was the best player on the team besides Watson? I mean, I did.
Yeah, Hopkins was the best player on the team besides Watson if J.J. Watt was hurt. 2 years ago, Watt had 16 sacks, was first-team All-Pro. Hopkins has been first-team All-Pro. And the best thing about Hopkins, he never missed a game because of an injury. You know, a lot of players miss games because of injuries, and wideout. He's also not like your typical wideout diva. It wants attention. Hopkins quiet, goes about his job in a professional manner, and he can always be counted on game days.
So John McClain with us, the Chronicle. So now that they have Cobb and they have Cooks, and how do you like their receiving core as it stands now? And because Fuller's a guy, you talk about guys that play every week like Hopkins. Fuller's not that guy. Fuller's a guy that never plays.
Fuller gets hurt. He missed 5 games last year. He's only played as many as 14 since his rookie year. When he played last year, they averaged almost 6 points more with him in the lineup than they did without him. Shows you how valuable he is. He's healthy right now. They've got him and Brandon Cooks outside, Kenny Stills as the third guy, and then Randall Cobb will start in the slot. Cobb coming off the high career high 15.1 yards a catch in Dallas. The problem with their wideouts, just like Dave Johnson, all of those five guys I just mentioned have had injury issues within the last 2 years. And if they could stay healthy, they can have a prolific offense. If those wideouts start going down at the same time, there's going to be even more pressure on Deshaun Watson to make chicken salad out of, you know, et cetera.
So when you saw that playoff game, it has to make you sick. I can't even believe what I saw when you're up 24 and then, I mean, you talk about the walls caving in. I just, how do you shake that off and then go into this game Thursday night to start the NFL season? How do you ever forget something like that? I know I can't. I can't forget it. How can anyone forget it?
They don't want to forget it. Every player and coach we've asked about it, they say yes. They're not forgetting that. They're also not forgetting the way they won in regular season at Arrowhead, 31-24, in which they ran for 192 yards and controlled the clock for almost 40 minutes and kept Mahomes on the bench. That's the best way to beat Kansas City, is to keep Mahomes on the bench. They did it in regular season. They were up, and they just choked that lead, Scott. They're up 24-0, and then they started doing things they hadn't been doing all season. They give up a 58-yard kickoff return. They had great special teams last year. Easy touchdown. Then Bill O'Brien goes for it on fourth down in his 31, I think, and it stopped. Easy touchdown. Then a kickoff is fumbled. Easy touchdown. So they didn't do those things in regular season. They came from 16 points behind to beat Buffalo in the wild card game, and then they just totally fell apart. You talk about a team, if they got pride, and they should go into Arrowhead Stadium with a huge chip on their shoulder, because they know they embarrassed themselves in the last game of last season, and they've never been beyond the second round of the playoffs, and it happened again.
So how do you think they'll play against the Super Bowl champs? They went on to win it all, and they were down 10 in the fourth quarter, and this guy Mahomes, I mean, between the two of them, I mean, they're the Federal Reserve with the money that – they just gave Watson is a gigantic deal. It might be even more over 4 years than what Mahomes is making. It's unbelievable what they're earning. What do you think of that team facing them coming off winning a Super Bowl? And you've heard them all bragging, several of them bragging, they're going to win 5, 6, 7 Super Bowls in a row. You and I both know that's not happening.
Nobody's won two in a row since the Patriots after the 01-02 season, which is why I did not pick the Chiefs. I think they're going to be a great team, and who doesn't love Andy Reid and Andy getting his first Super Bowl ring? And I picked the Chiefs to win this game 37-27. The Texans, as Andy Reid pointed out this week, scored 31 two times last year at Arrowhead Stadium. And their offense with Deshaun Watson, a great young quarterback, he had 6 touchdowns rushing and receiving in those two games. Mahomes threw 8 touchdown passes in those two games, 5 to Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. And when Hill caught his 2, the Texans won, and Kelce had 3 in a row in the second quarter comeback. And the truth is, the Texans didn't have their second and third safeties, and they were trying everybody on Kelce, and nobody could cover him. They've had that problem with him since he came into the league, and he's played them almost every year. So they've got to do something about Kelce. I'd double-team him. I'd let Hill, I'd let Hardman, I'd let Watkins, anybody, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, anybody but Travis Kelce beat me this time. And but I think that it'll be a big deal. I feel bad for the Chiefs not having a sellout crowd at the Sea of Red. But like Andy Reid said, hey, it'll be low tide.
What are you going to do in Houston at the games? Are they going to let people in at all?
No, they've announced they're not letting anybody in their home opener, second game against Baltimore. Then they've got another road game at Pittsburgh before they come home first weekend in October against Minnesota. They've not decided, but considering the way the coronavirus has been out of control in Texas for months, I'll be really surprised if they let fans in the stadium. Colleges are going to try. And Baylor just had a home game postponed this weekend. SMU and TCU was postponed this weekend. So I don't think we'll see fans at the NFL games, although Jerry Jones is going to put a few into his stadium. And so not here. I don't think so. I think the Texans, Scott, their first four games, they play at Kansas City, host Baltimore, at Pittsburgh, host Minnesota. Those four were 44-20. That's the toughest first four games of the season. I got the Texans starting 1-3.
So I got 1 minute respectfully, John. What do you think that kid, De'Eriq King, will do at Miami after what you saw him do in Houston?
He's a great runner, and he's a really good passer. I think he's going to tear it up. I'm not sure about the talent around him. I know he had a great scrimmage. Look for De'Eriq King to be a Heisman Trophy contender.
Hey, John, I always love having you on the show. We'll catch up throughout the NFL season. Hopefully they'll get it all in and we can have a full season and playoffs and Super Bowl. I always appreciate your columns and your time. It's great having you on the bench. We'll catch up real soon. Take care, pal.
Hey, Scott, thank you very much. Keep up the great work and stay safe.
My man, John McClain, the great writer from the Houston Chronicle, with us tonight on the bench. Something just happened to Covington. It looked like he got his nose broken or something in that game. He's leaving the floor, gushing blood. They're taking him into the room, so that's the end of him. Lakers up 101-89 with 4.5 minutes to go. They looked like they got it in the bag. I think the Rockets were getting five in this game. So the Lakers look like, I mean, at this point, unless Harden and company can light it up and start hitting some big shots, they're down 11 right now. 12. I can't even do the math. Anyway, so there you go. He's leaving, got his face in a towel, gushing blood. When we come back, we still got some more things to accomplish here, including talking about Von Miller. So anyway, Westbrook just scored on Davis and had him up in the air like double head pump fake, had him down in the block trying to get him up in the air. He finally kicked back off of him and shot it off the glass and scored on him. And he called him every name in the book after he scored on him. And then Davis came down the floor talking it back. And then they like banged into each other at the top of the key at the other end. And there is some serious talk going on this floor. I guarantee you they got those mics off, those TV mics. This game's over. It's a 10-point Laker lead with 1.5 minutes left. It's toast. So you can count that over with. But, now there's bad blood. Now there's some tension on the floor between these two. So I would think the rest of the series is going to get real chippy and physical, because now that they'll go to game four, they don't like each other. Now there's like, you know, we don't like you, you don't like us. They're talking after shots. There's so much going on verbally between these two teams that it's now, I think it's going to get juicy. But in the end, you know what's going to happen, right? The Lakers are going to win. That's what's going to happen, because when they really want to play, LeBron and Davis can't be stopped. That's it. They just can't be stopped. So, and then the rest of them just do their little bits here and there and piece it all together and get the W's. That's it. They got everything they need. And, you know, one of the guys that's actually two of them that are playing better than I thought they would completely is Pope and Kuzma. Kuzma is capable of doing it every night, right? He can play flat out. He can turn around Jay. He's got that sick, like, wing and baseline turnaround Jay like Melo does, that it's just, like, trademarked. You can just count on him. He gets up in the air so high. It's like he's shooting down into the basket. And he just scored on a cut from Rondo. Rondo's made him better, too, because Rondo knows how to pass. Rondo's shooting is a disaster waiting to happen, but passing, he's top shelf still. He makes plays. That's all there is to it. And anyway, it's an 8-point game now with 45 seconds left. So the other story that's interesting tonight is obviously Von Miller is done for the year. So it's an ankle injury, and he's going to have surgery, and he's going to be done for the year. So that's very interesting, I have to tell you, because when I heard that he got hurt, the first thing I thought of was that, like, they showed a picture of him or whatever. You know, I'm not Mr. Like, I'm not trying to be a D or anything right now either. I'm just telling it like it is. I got to be honest. When I saw the picture of him, I, you know, and it could just be a picture. It's not like the end of the world or anything. But when I looked at him, I was like, seriously, I was like, dude, that dude looks really old. I was like, he just, that guy looks like, do you remember when they won the Super Bowl and like he was like the best player in the NFL and went, you know, I don't even remember, you know, how long ago it was. I can't, you know, obviously 8-time Pro Bowl selection, poised for a big year. Everybody talks about that. You know, everybody's poised for a big year until they're not. Okay. Here's the deal. Carver, do you remember when they exactly what year it was that they won the Super Bowl?
It was 5 years ago because that was Super Bowl 50, and we have Super Bowl 55 coming up this year. So
okay,
Super
so
Bowl
good.
50.
Good call by you. You know, I have early for Alzheimer's. I can't remember these things. So I'll just, all I'm going to say is this. That guy looks like Benjamin Button because he looks, I mean, your boy, he looks like he's like 60 now. I mean, I looked at him. I was like, he's like, you know, he's lost all his hair. He's got the whole thing going. He just looks like an old man. And then his body. Like, he's still a great player, right? I mean, that's what everybody thinks, right? And they're like, oh, he's still got mad game. He's going to have a big year. Yeah, no, he's not. Okay? No, he's not. He's not having a big year because his year's over. He got injured and blew out his ankle. So he's been super durable, right? Never misses anything. Overall, he's just one game the past six seasons. December 1st, 2019 against the Chargers. He had a consecutive game streak of 95 with a total of 5,251 defensive snaps played in the streak when he missed the game against the Chargers because of a knee injury. Before that, he missed the 2013 regular season finale after he tore his ACL in week 16 in a game against the Texans. He missed the first six games of that season because of a suspension. Now he's done for the year, right? So do you think he's it's a tendon in his ankle near that he tore. I guess so he's going to have surgery, end his season. He was sent for an MRI shortly after suffering the injury. They were still evaluating the results. Because of bad weather, the Broncos practice indoor. He was injured as the practice drew to a close. The injury happened on the last play of practice. Anyway, it sounds to me like
it's always the last play of practice, right? When these practice non-contact injuries happened, it's all, you know, it was just the last snap. It was the last play that we were running before we were done for the day. That's when these injuries always happen.
Okay, so I'm not going to sit here. I'm just joking. But the fact is, I just saw him and I was like, man, that guy looks like he's been through hell and back. He looks old to me. So anyway, I was thinking he looks old, but he's not old. Anyway, the thing is that I have to tell you, like, their defense with him is solid, but without him, it's not, right? It's that simple. How does Denver
I'm with you.
Win without him?
You know, he didn't. He probably had his worst year last year, too. I know his sack count was down big time. He was looking for a big bounce back year. But even when he's not, you know, even though he didn't have a lot of sacks last year, when he's on the field, you have to account for him. You have to know where he is, and you have to put most of the time an extra guy on him, two guys, whether it's a lineman and a back or whatever, you know, to keep him from the quarterback. And not having him out there, right, it's just one less guy that you need to worry about on the Denver D, which is, you know, they have some players, but he takes up so much of what the other team wants to stop. Not having him there opens up a lot of things. So everybody's high on Denver to begin with. I'm not high on Denver. I think that's an under for me. Denver,
but
even
people
before
are high
that.
On. They're high on Locke. People like Locke. They're, you know, John Elway thinks he's a rock star.
Yeah, he's thought a couple guys were rock stars the last couple of years.
John, what you're suggesting is John was a lot better quarterback than he is a executive.
Let's just say since he convinced the best work he's done since he's been the executive there was convincing Peyton Manning to go play there to finish his career. Because since Peyton has left, he has been very spotty when it comes to quarterbacks. Now, we'll see what happens with Locke. He's showed a lot of promise at the end of last year. But John's been very spotty with his quarterback evaluation since Peyton Manning left.
So what do you think of the John McClain said about Baylor? So Baylor, Louisiana Tech canceled because the whole Louisiana Tech football team has COVID?
I think I saw in the report 38 players tested positive. So they're not getting on the field this weekend.
How in God's name does the entire I guess one or two people get it and just spreads it around?
I didn't see exactly. Obviously, you don't know. I know that they obviously had the hurricane situation down there in the last couple weeks as well. I don't know if that maybe played into it a little bit, but you're right. It spreads fast. You get all those guys in the locker room when one or two or three have it, and then suddenly 38 have it.
How many games do you think are going to be canceled because of this thing when it's all said and done? Like, you know how they're all playing and having games and everything, and now you got this game stopped. How many times do you think that's going to happen? Do you think it's going to happen once a week at least?
I have a feeling that you're going to be seeing a lot of this throughout the season. And I actually was surprised. I didn't know that a couple of these other games were already canceled for this weekend. I knew the NC State game was because we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but I did not know that the TCU-SMU game or that the Oklahoma State game, I didn't know that a couple of these other games had already been pushed back as well. So this is going to be something that we talked about this all summer. This is going to be something that college football is going to have to deal with week in, week out basis. It's just that simple. It's different than the NFL. You know, I think that they're trying. They've been pretty good so far. Let's give the NFL some credit. They haven't actually started traveling and playing the games yet, but they've been really good in their home cities. College different. You got all these kids in the dorms and in the campuses. It's just not the same.
So when the game's played on Thursday night at Arrowhead and they play these two teams, the Texans and Chiefs, do you think that by, let's say, Sunday, let's say they play Thursday, by Sunday or Monday, do you think we'll be hearing that there's an outbreak between those two teams?
I hope not. It sounds like they're testing people every day during this thing, and they're going to test them today. They're going to test them tomorrow. They're not going to test them on game day. But if everybody's clean and ready to go by Wednesday, they should all be good once they get on the field, right? You would have to think. The team that's traveling in, they're not going to let them go anywhere. They're going to fly into the city, go to the hotel. They're not going to let them leave. And then they're going to bring them to the stadium and play. That's it.
So does Notre Dame get to play every game in South Bend because, you know, they get special treatment? Are they playing?
God.
So everyone
do not play every game. Yeah. They don't play every South Bend.
So what happens is every team that in
got
the
a big
ACC
trip to Wake Forest coming up in a few weeks. They got to go
no,
to Winston-Salem.
No,
and they got to go to Bobby Dodd and play Georgia Tech this year. Come on,
they got a couple tough
road games.
No. Those games have all been rescheduled in South Bend. They're going to have every team in the ACC. Part of the agreement is that none of them are allowed airtime on NBC, FaceTime. No interviews, no FaceTime whatsoever for any player taking on Notre Dame. And then all games will be played at Notre Dame Stadium, the entire schedule. And then Notre Dame is already, from what I'm hearing, my sources, they've already been gifted one of the four college football playoff spots already without playing a game. They're favored by 19 and a hook or 20 over Duke on Saturday in South Bend. They'll win the game by 63 points.
Let's be fair here. They do have some tough road games on the schedule. They got to go to Winston-Salem and play Wake Forest on September 26th. They have to
what
go
a
to,
brutal,
about
that'll
this
be
one?
A brutal one.
How about this one? They got to go to Pitt on October 24th. They got to play Pitt. That's a tough road game for them. They got to go to
Pitt will be lucky if they beat Austin Peay this week.
They got to go to Chestnut Hill in November. It won't be easy against Boston College. They got to go to Chestnut Hill, and they got to go to Chapel Hill to play North Carolina late.
What do they got at Boston College? A bunch of kids from Southie playing in Chestnut Hill? A bunch
now,
of kids
I will,
missing
I will
teeth?
Be fair. Their hardest games are at home, which is Clemson, of course. They play Clemson in South Bend. And Florida State, they play in South Bend. So.
Meanwhile, Florida State's just absolutely it's like a high school team now.
Yeah, they're awful now.
What do you think Clemson will do to Notre Dame and South Bend? What do you think that game? You think the Irish will be able to get up for that one like the old Lou Holtz days when they take on Florida State or Miami or Michigan and they beat them in South Bend, no matter who comes in there, like Florida State, it doesn't matter.
I think that they are going to want to give them a game after how they did not play poorly. They did not play well against them in that semifinal, of course. I think that they're going to want to give them a game. And in South Bend, I think that they can.
Do you think Lou Holtz deserved a Medal of Freedom?
No.
How pathetic is that? What could be more embarrassing than giving that guy a Medal of Freedom? I mean, only Trump could do something like that, honestly. I mean, it is unbelievable. Lou Holtz gets the Medal of Freedom. Oh, my God. I've seen it all. All right, so I was looking at some of the heavies that are playing. Clemson and Wake and Winston-Salem on Saturday night at 7:30 or whatever. Clemson number one in the country. Oklahoma is playing Missouri State in Norman Saturday night at 7. They're laying 40 and a hook. That Pitt game is Pitt laying 27 and a hook to Austin Peay in Pittsburgh, 4 o'clock in the afternoon Saturday. Georgia Tech and Florida State in at 3:30 Eastern, and that's Florida State land 12.5. And then really, I guess North Carolina, Syracuse getting 22. Notre Dame, Duke, that's at 2:30. The North Carolina game's at noon. West Virginia, Eastern Kentucky, Kansas State, Arkansas State. Those are bunk. Army, Monroe, bunk.
Don't forget Texas about my Kansas game that I'm going to have a lot of action on, that Kansas-Coastal Carolina game on Saturday night. I'm all over that game. The governor is calling that game on FS1, the Kansas-Coastal Carolina game.
I think the governor is on, what is he tomorrow on, tomorrow night show?
On the radio tomorrow night, yes.
Tim Brando. So did you see, he's been golfing a lot, and then he does these videos while he's golfing, like Brando's tips or whatever. And then I sent him a few videos of me hitting big ball. Real fast, I got 45 seconds. Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. What'd you think of the games tonight, Gabe? I guess we lost him, so that's just not out. There you go. So much for that. We had him, and then Leon Lett fumbled at the one. Lakers win it 112-102. That's a done deal. And then we already know the Heat advanced. Diamondbacks up 5-2 on the Dodgers. The Padres now 14-5 on the Rockies. That's in the seventh. Astros 5-4 on the A's in the second game of the doubleheader in the top of the seventh. Mariners Giants 5-all there. That one's in the sixth. Great job, Carver. Hi, good night. See you tomorrow on Coast.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.